We're in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. We are coming off a Falcons loss this Monday to the Seahawks at home. 34-14 is the final, or was the final score, I should say. We've covered a lot of ground with this matchup. Something we haven't talked about yet was a matchup within the game that Coach Raheem Morris said he was looking forward to seeing, and that was with AJ Terrell and DK Metcalf. So I want to get your thoughts on that, because I know, Mike, you said even from just looking at DK Metcalf on the field, you could just see.
Looks like a robot. Looks like a robot. No, I think obviously his numbers are good. The backbreaker before halftime was just that. It was a backbreaker in a lot of different ways. I think Jesse mentioned that. I think AJ Terrell, it's frustrating because I don't know that Raheem wanted it to sound the way he did when he talked about the buildup to that matchup. Like, can't wait to see those guys, because now you're going to go straight and look at DK's numbers and think, oh man, AJ just got smoked the whole game. And I don't necessarily think it was that.
And that's not the case. Yeah.
When here's the thing, when you pass as often as they do and you have a receiver like they rely on, a DK Metcalf, it should never be one man's job.
No.
And second of all, I don't think it was. I think they tried to involve other players and play, you know, a style against him that would benefit, and it didn't work out. And I don't think that's all on AJ Terrell. I thought he played a decently physical caliber of a game. I know that there's probably a couple plays he'd like to have back, but I don't think this is all on his shoulders to the point where you're like, man, he got smoked. It just DK doing DK things, and in the end, he gets his numbers, and you're gonna look at AJ because he just got paid and he's CB1. But
that's why I wanted to bring it up.
DK doing DK things. Yeah.
A lot of people are going to like look at things like, oh, it all falls on one guy and that's his player. And that's not how football like works.
Well, not when you're playing zone coverage and you got what, like the outside technique, which means you're basically lining up where you're funneling people inside. And he did funnel DK's route was obviously across the middle of the field, and you got safeties there and they're not there. I mean, you're supposed to have help there on that touchdown, and yep, he didn't have it. So that's what drives me nuts, is you see a guy in the general area, and you're like, oh, see, he blew that coverage. It's like, well, yeah, you don't know what the coverage was, most likely.
Yeah.
You can only go by what you think you know, and so that's the one.
Happens to O-line all the time. Man, you know.
No, they're always at fault.
Running back gets blasted, and you're like, man, the O-line sucks. And you're like, oh, they can't pick up nine people. There's only five of them.
This is true.
But here's the thing. I will say this. DK had almost 100 yards receiving. It came on four catches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not exactly like this guy went off for, and it's probably a bad comparison, but these are kind of, it's kind of was a Mike Evans style of game, but Mike Evans, when he goes off in the Falcons, has more catches than that, but it seems like they're all explosive. You know what I mean? Like when you get him down there, you're like, man, Mike Evans again. And you look back and you go, well, he only had four catches, but he had 100 yards. Like, how did that even happen?
One of those was a 35-yarder. The other, I think, was 20-something.
So brutal.
And that 35, I think, was a touchdown. So, but that was the drive. That was the play. That honestly was the play. You can look back at the strip sack and say that was the play where the game was over. But the momentum in the game changed when DK Metcalf caught that touchdown to make it 17-7 in front of the half. Because before that, it's 10-7, and you're right there in that. You've survived the wave, right? You've survived a lot of self-inflicted mistakes, and you've been able to just keep it close, even a missed field goal. I mean, it could have been 10-10 if Youngway makes that 53-yarder early in the game. But that was the one that kind of broke your back, and everything changed after that.
Well, post-game, Kirk Cousins, the QB, he caught up with Dave Archer of the Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. This interview is brought to you by Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy one-hour drive from Atlanta.
Kirk, energy in the building seemed to be kind of flat. I thought both teams kind of started kind of slow. Tell me about what it felt like in the game.
Yeah, I think it's our job to bring the energy the way we play. And, you know, first series had the penalties, the pre-snap penalties that made it hard to overcome that and get the first down. And then the second drive, you know, I missed Ray on that third down. I thought we had a chance for a touchdown there. I threw it long, and that one loomed large as the game went on because we ended up missing the kick and then got a touchdown, and then had the 2-minute drive at the end of the half, didn't get anything. And so then we kicked it back to them, and they were able to go down and get points. So those four possessions, you know, we were – we were close, and then we just didn't make the play we needed to make to come away with more points. And the second half felt like we were, you know, starting strong with a touchdown on the first drive, then got back down 10, and we were really right there. I still think in the fourth quarter until the sack fumble, you know, on my part that I felt, you know, that started to kind of change the tone of the game.
Well, there went a whole bunch you could have done about that. I know you're trying to escape and get the ball out of there. Tell me about the run game. You guys got the cranked up the run game, got it going pretty good. Looked like did they change anything? Because they kind of started yeah. to swell up against the run against you guys late.
Run game was good. You know, Bijan went for 100 yards. Thought we had a lot of productive runs, including the start of the 2-minute drive at the end of the half. Run game was good. You know, I think being down, I think it was hard to be, you know, patient with the run game, but it was good every time we called on it. And so, you know, I guess that was encouraging to see.
When you come back this next week, obviously you guys have played extremely well on offense, maybe not quite as good as you would like to this week. Tell me about your thought process as you go back to work, get ready for this next game.
Yeah, you know, this is pro football, and you have to go back and you know, have candor about, hey, I got to be better, this has to be better. Make the improvements, corrections, and then put together a strong week of practice, and then go with a resolve to Tampa and plan on playing your best football you possibly can. That's what it takes to win in this league, and that's what we have to do.
Kirk, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Arch.
That was Kirk Cousins, the Atlanta Falcons quarterback, with Dave Archer wrapping up this loss to the Seahawks, 34-14. I know we won't get ahead, but he did mention that Tampa game. This was a tough stretch for this team, because you go from Seahawks to Bucks, Saints again, right? I believe, if I had that correct. So, you know, it's kind of a little bit of a
Cowboys game, I think, in there.
And Cowboys are, Tiff. Yes, Cowboys
mixed
in there. Week
before Saints, yep,
you.
You're right.
Yeah, because it's weird, because we've played so many home games, and then we go on the road, and we come back and play home again, and then we're like, oh, on the road for two straight weeks before the bye.
It's worrisome for me. That what you just said is worrisome for me.
Well, what's worrisome for me is you've got three losses and they're all at home.
I know. Well, not with that, but
you are what you are on the road.
Like, you don't win all your road games, right? You just don't. So the fact that you have so many remaining, I'm like, man, like, we need to start knocking out some of these home games along the way, because it gets harder and harder.
These were not easy games at home. These were not games that you. And it's like that in the NFL. You're not just going to go ahead and claim a W, even though some people might feel like you can.
Yeah.
But especially against, you had the Chiefs at home, you had the
you had the Bucks, you had the Saints,
and
you had the Steelers.
And the Steelers,
And the only one that came, the only one that's under 500 in any of that group is the Saints. And honestly, it's unfair to look at them at 2-5 right now and say, well, you should have won that. Why'd you have trouble? Because they were 2-1 when they came in here.
Yeah.
And they were not banged up to the extent they are now. Taysom Hill was injured, but that's pretty much it. They have since had injury after injury after injury, and now they're at 2-5, including, you know, Derek Carr's missed a couple of weeks. But they were at pretty full strength when they came in here.
And I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying that, and I know you know that, but I'm just saying that these were hard teams that you were playing in your backyard.
It needs to be heard. What you're saying needs to be said, and it needs to be heard.
Let me bring this back around as well, because I had the same feeling Saturday postgame that I did Sunday postgame, and that is that the way that my two teams played this weekend, and I'm going to lump Bama into that because they're lost to Tennessee, none of them feel like shoe-ins, to your point, Tiff.
Yeah,
it's like you ain't going to look at any game after this weekend for Bama or Atlanta. I know Georgia fans probably feeling a little bit different, but I bet Texas fans feel the same way. You're not going to look at any of the games down the stretch and think that those are locks, because there's too much up and down. There's too much back and forth. There's all this room for error. Then it seems like one week everything goes right and the next week everything goes wrong for you to think that any game is going to be easy down the stretch. I mean, Dallas has looked terrible. I guarantee you that's going to be a tough game.
That's what I'm saying.
How about Washington when you started the year? You looked at Washington and go, oh, yeah, good, Washington. Rookie quarterback, no big deal. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, crap. That ain't going to be a lot of fun.
They still got the win yesterday. Great. Yeah.
Oh, you thought Minnesota was going to be easy. Sam Darnold,
oh, my God,
bum.
Dude.
Oh, really? You think so?
It just makes it so much funnier that we, you know, you talk before the season, everybody's like, well, the Falcons got the easiest schedule.
You don't do
that.
No, we don't. You know, let's talk about, somebody hit me up and said, and Hakeem, he's a big listener, and he's I think he's a part of Squid Nation, I believe.
Probably not.
And he goes, "Well, unwillingness to get sacks." And I just think we should talk a little bit about what they did yesterday. They were extremely aggressive yesterday. They had a lot of pressure on Geno. Two things to me are the reason this team is not getting sacks. First off, I think you're playing so far off in the secondary that you're playing veteran quarterbacks, and they're able to recognize that, hey, you're playing off, and when they see and they are obviously probably you're showing some of your hand a little bit with some of these blitzes, and they're getting the ball out quickly because you're giving them so much space in these routes. These receivers have 7 yards, and you can get the ball out quick. The other thing is, when you get there, you have to finish the play. And we haven't finished plays. We flushed Geno multiple times, and you couldn't get him on the ground.
Yeah.
You couldn't get him on the ground. One of it actually turned into a grounding call. But you've got to get quarterbacks on the ground. 2 weeks in a row, we have been there, and we have missed sacks because we haven't finished the drill.
Well, and here's the thing. I'm honestly tired of kind of making excuses for it. When the first few games you play, I'm like, well, the quarterback's mobile. You're going to attack differently. You're going to stay in your rush lanes. You know, when you look at last week, you're like, man, Chuba Hubbard's running. You're more worried about that. You don't mind if Andy Dalton sits in the pocket, this, that, and the other. Look on your you got your card right in front of you. All right, your right tackle on that card is scratched out. And number 65, who on your card is the backup left tackle, who really is their fourth option. He made his first start at right tackle yesterday, Michael Jarrell. What's his school listed on there? Because I can't remember where he's from. He said he played in front of crowds of about 3,000
before. It's Finley. Which is in Carolina, I believe.
I can't make an excuse for that. At one point, and I saw Matthew Judon at one point, I was like, man, he smells blood in the water. And then right after that, James Smith-Williams gets a sack on that guy.
I apologize. Like, it's in Ohio.
I'm like, man, it's about to go down. Like, they can tell this guy. It's like, hey, I played a good first quarter. And then all of a sudden, he just locked it back down. And we couldn't expose the guy. And he's making his first start as a rookie out of Finley as a sixth-round pick.
Matthew Judon, dude, where you at?
No bueno, dude.
Because,
wasn't good.
Because I'm
red sleeves.
I'm a Judon guy. Yeah, but I don't know. Something's not right. Something's missing there. James Smith Williams was extreme. He played well yesterday. Till he got hurt, he came back in, still played good, but he played well.
When we come back, we're going in the huddle. But also yesterday, a champion was crowned and a championship matchup was set. We'll discuss all when we come back here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game.
I think in the postseason, it's about the fight, and we got a lot of talent, too. It's going to be a great World Series. I think this is what the baseball world wanted.
Oh, that was Dave Roberts, skipper for the Dodgers. Now that the World Series has been set, the Dodgers beat the Mets 10-5 yesterday, and then on Saturday, the Yankees beat the Guardians 5-2. So unfortunately, Bo won't get what he really wants, which would have been an all New York matchup.
This is what the baseball world wanted.
I think
once it was
cue that up for you.
Yeah, once it was Dodgers, Mets, Yankees, Cleveland. It was Cleveland or die for me, and I died.
Yeah.
This is you want to know what buying your way to the top looks like?
I was going to say the same thing, man.
This is it.
I've talked on here before about how I feel like the NFL is the best league in the world because it's the most fair, right? You had the salary cap straight across the board. You had the draft straight across the board. It is what it is. It's like it's a fair league. It's a balanced league. Everybody has a shot at it from year to year to remake everything you're doing. And I think this is one of the things that some people get turned off by about Major League Baseball, that you can spend 3 times, 4 times, 8 times as much as some other teams and wind up at the end. Now, I'm not taking credit away from these guys. They still have to go out there and perform. But it seems like we've been blessed recently with some Cinderella stories, and we weren't blessed with that this year.
Also,
this is what the baseball world wanted.
I don't know.
Hey, I like Dave Roberts as a player.
Oh, dude,
salty
don't.
Salty now. You salty now. I'm not
going to
let you do it. Look,
here we go.
Not anymore.
Don't do this,
no one,
man. Don't
well,
do
out of,
this.
How out of touch can you be when reality is what the baseball world wanted?
In his world, that's exactly what it sounds like.
Well, that's not the entire baseball world.
I will say from a global perspective,
everybody at the Major League
Office
wanted it. If you see how
the Yankees play out throughout the world, I'm not saying that I agree with anything. I'm just pointing out. A fact there. I'm going to keep it moving real quick.
I don't know what world of baseball
is. I just love that you're like, you're listening to him and you're looking at the sky and you go, You know, I liked him as a player.
now he's on your list. Okay.
Here we go.
He also been an underachiever as a manager.
The World Series is set. Also, a champion was crowned yesterday. The New York Liberty defeated the Minnesota Lynx in the WNBA Finals 67-62. I also want to point out, this was kind of cool, when Sabrina Ionescu is posing with the championship trophy, she's sitting down, and then she gets a muscle cramp. And if you guys have seen this, it's quite funny, because I think that's the first time that's probably happened, but just shows you how hard they played, and to get a title is pretty cool, especially against a team like the Lynx.
The Lynx coach, you know what's funny is both coaches in the last two games have complained about officials, because the Liberty coach complained after game four, and then the Reeves, the coach for the Lynx, said that they were cheated and the title was stole from them. So she will be a little bit lighter in her next paycheck.
I will say, what a great way to cap off what's been a phenomenal year for the WNBA. So let's go in the huddle. Lots of news to get to in the NFL. Lots of injury news, that is. So Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, he suffered what appears to be a season-ending right Achilles injury, but will undergo further testing for confirmation. This according to coach Kevin Stefanski, and this coming after the team lost 21-14 to the Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah,
it did not look good.
The slow-mo of it looked a lot like Aaron Rodgers did last year, where he kind of plants that back foot. All of a sudden, that heel hits the ground. Some guys have said that, you know, that I've known that have done this, it feels like your shoe came off. That's exactly what it looked like with Deshaun Watson. Obviously, an emotional scene with him down on the field. Look, man, he hasn't played very well for Cleveland this year. He played what was probably going to be his best game. I think his stat line when he finished this year was like 15 of 17 or something like that. He was actually playing pretty well and goes down. DTR gets put in, Jameis Winston gets put in, and nonetheless, looks like season's over for him.
Yeah, the worst trade and contract in NFL history continues to look worse. I mean, I know that it's an injury, but that's the reality of the situation, is that's accounted. That's part of it. That's how you look at it. It was odd to me that the day they bumped Jameis from second to third on the chart as far as how they were gonna have those guys come out, this happens. It was just weird. It's just weird how it all played out.
Weird day. On to the Commanders. Well, they don't know yet if quarterback Jaden Daniels will miss any time. He suffered a rib injury in their win over Carolina. Atlanta connections in that one, with, of course, Dan Quinn being the head coach. And then in comes Marcus Mariota, tossing a touchdown or two in this one to help seal the victory for them. So hopefully they'll get some good news on Jaden Daniels, though, because he's been a lot of fun to watch.
I found myself kind of happy for Marcus Mariota in this instance. I don't know why. Obviously the legend has been written here about him, but I do feel a certain way, Tiff, that I feel like he did quit on his team a couple of years ago, and that's kind of tough for me to stomach, although I agree with you. I think he's probably a pretty good dude. But him kind of getting these chances to be a backup, then coming in and actually playing well in a reserve role, I think, honestly, the bigger story of this game is probably what the opposing team looked like in Carolina, because it's no bueno when you talk about that team right now.
Yeah, it's the Andy Dalton effect is now worn off.
Woo!
And it's back to, now it's kind of the pumpkin. He's turned into a pumpkin, and I don't mean that because they have similar hair colors. It's just kind of the way it goes. And the Jaden Daniels thing I hate, because now there's a chance we don't get to see Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams next week at 4:25, and I think that is a matchup we're all looking forward to seeing. So I kind of hate that. Hopefully he is.
It's the matchup the football world wants. Oh, no. Okay. No,
thanks, Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I think the football world wants the Falcons in Tampa Bay at 1 o'clock on Sunday. That's what the football world really wants.
A lot of backups got time yesterday. And then I guess you can't say if he was a backup or not, but he was at a time. I'm talking about Russell Wilson with the Steelers now, because he gets in. Sunday night football.
It's hard to be a backup when you never name a starter, Tiff.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. That's why I was going back and forth, right? But how did, you know, Mike Tomlin kind of did a, they were talking about it, a good job managing this whole thing. But anyway, Pittsburgh Steelers, they win 37-15 over the New York Jets on Sunday night football, with Russell Wilson throwing for two touchdowns, and he also ran for another.
I'll be honest, watching this game, first of all, I'm a massive Mike Tomlin fan. I know that, like, he has his ups and downs as a head coach. I'm sure that Pittsburgh fans at times want him out, want him in, want him in the Hall of Fame, whatever it is. I love the way he handled this situation. He's very matter of fact. And I'll be honest, I looked at this game last night and I thought, man, what a missed opportunity the Falcons had in week one. to be able to go out and do some things and beat this Pittsburgh team that was not playing well. And now, with Mr. Dangerous starting at quarterback, they looked pretty freaking good last night at times.
He prefers to go by Mr. Unlimited. And he did look pretty good last night. They looked good. George Pickens had a nice night, 111 yards and a touchdown. The 7 games they've thrown for more than 200 yards in 3 of them, Russell Wilson now owns one of them. So,
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, thank you, Russ.
A couple more things to get to, but I do want to highlight Ricky Pearsall, the rookie, getting in his first NFL game. I think it was 50 days after being shot in an attempted robbery. So he made his 49ers debut. So that was incredible there for them.
Yeah, good for Ricky Pearsall. Guess what? His targets are about to go up because it looks like Brandon Ayuk tore his ACL yesterday.
That was the other news.
That's what they fear. a rough game for the Niners. But if you went with Squid's picks, you know that Andy Reid is now 22-4 coming off bye weeks. He was 21-4 going into yesterday. They go into San Francisco, get the job. Brock Purdy's not his best game, but then again, that team, McCaffrey down. Now Ayuk is down.
Debo went out in that game for a period of time. I'm pretty sure he didn't come back in. So
he's been banged up. It is one of those lost seasons, it feels like, for San Francisco because of the injuries. But they hung in there for a little bit.
I'm not ready to say it's
there for a second.
I think if you can get Christian McCaffrey back and you can get kind of Ricky Pearsall involved, I still think you have some nice pieces to be able to get some things done.
Go to that first part.
You can get Christian McCaffrey back.
Yeah. Do you realistically think there's even a chance?
I don't know.
I don't know anymore either.
I honestly have no idea. Because
it's
like
one off the grid.
If it was just the tendonitis, that we would have probably been seeing him, or at least seeing him getting close at this point.
A couple more injuries to get to. Raiders, their quarterback, O'Connell, he has a broken thumb, so in came Gardner Minshew. And then you had Brian Daboll making the QB switch to try to give the Giants a spark in what amounted to a loss to the Eagles. So Daniel Jones was pulled in that one, and he came out and said, yeah, he wasn't happy about it.
Yeah, that's a tumultuous. That looks like a tumultuous relationship anyways, and one that's probably coming to an end soon.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a number of different backup quarterbacks. How about Michael Penix making his first throw yesterday as well? So,
you know what's funny? Jace McClellan, first action, and he got like 5 or 6 carries.
Yeah.
No one's. I don't know if anyone spoke to him. You look over at Michael Penix. He threw one pass, and it was just like a gaggle of people around
him. Casey Washington got some burn as well.
How about Casey Washington with a little turn up field?
Dog.
It's my dude right there.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res, smart, lasting, clean. There is always a chance. That's what Atlanta United is saying. We'll get you caught up on what they accomplished, and we have a mic'd up.
Yeah, mic'd up. We're going to go back to Austin, Texas on Saturday night, kind of relive the craziness that was a bottle being thrown on the field, or maybe a couple thousand bottles being thrown on the field. Kirby's reaction, was it the right or wrong thing to do? Was it the right or wrong thing to do? We'll relive that coming up next on Mic'd Up. It's Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
There it is! Atlanta United is going to the playoffs!
Get the reservation ready at Poutineville. We'll see you in Montreal.
I don't even know what to do with that. That was our Mike Conti and Jason Longshore on the call of Atlanta United's win over Orlando 2-1. And yes, they're going to the playoffs. There was just a 10% chance that this team would make it. And interim manager Rob Valentino, he was heard shouting, "No one believed we could do it."
Sounded like Kirby. Kirby after the game. No one believed in us.
Tiff, if you don't know what poutine is, it's an authentic Canadian recipe.
Are you? No, I traveled the world this summer. So,
Did you go to Canada at any point in time?
Tiffany
is cultured. Tiffany's
very cultured.
Yeah, I guess.
Worldly. Check my passport.
She's
do they still do that? The
let me tell you
they
something. She can't run from big time when she drops comments like that and posts Instagram posts of her.
Suitcase? Really?
Yeah.
You're a
nice. What? You don't have? Oh, I'm sorry, DJ. Call people out. I can call you out too, Tiff.
Well, I'm sorry, it's not meat.
That's right. Guess what? I'll be posting my meat soon enough on the Instagram again. It's coming back, baby.
Anyhow, not the to meat change man the is topic back. From you guys. Atlanta United. Atlanta United held my weekend together. After I watch Bama lose against Tennessee, and I'm at in Dudley's in Lithonia hanging out there, buddy. Kind of following Atlanta United game. They get a goal in the first, 6th or 7th minute. get that goal, and I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm headed home to watch Texas Georgia. Atlanta United, obviously not paying close attention on the field, but DC's 3-0 loss to Charlotte keeps them alive. And what a moment. What a moment, Tiff.
What else was a moment in this game was the 89th minute in which Orlando did score, but VAR ruled it a handball. Listen to the reaction from Conti and Longshore.
He's been told to go take a look. Okay. He's taken his look.
He's walking away. What's the call? Handball! Handball! It's no goal! It is no goal! Atlanta gets a lifeline.
Yeah, that was the moment that Orlando thought they had ruined their rivals' season and opportunity at the playoffs, and yet after everything calms down, you go to the VAR, you get the overturn. Just a magical moment, I think, for Atlanta United, and obviously they'll be able to press forward into the playoffs, and it seems like everything's in front of them, right? When you look at Atlanta United, everything's kind of in front of them, being able to do a number of different things, but it's been a cool season so far, so... A lot of turnover, a lot of different faces in different places in terms of where you were when you started the season. But nonetheless, Atlanta United presses on. All right, let's hit a mic, though. It was the overturned call heard around the world. We got to dive into this just a little bit. Now, if you weren't aware, on Saturday night, Georgia went to Austin and played the Texas Longhorns, the number one Texas Longhorns, and took care of business, man. I disrespected Georgia last week. I said I didn't think they could get it done. They went out and absolutely proved me and what seems like everybody else in the country wrong. And Kirby Smart obviously let everybody know about that. But the situation happens. They're able to Texas is able to pick a ball off. All right. A lot of things were kind of going wrong at this point. There was a big moment in the game. And then all of a sudden, because of this call, things started flying on the field. Here's the reaction from Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit in the middle of the game.
Georgia keeps the ball on the first down.
Someone has shown their displeasure in a stupid way by throwing a beer can on the field. That's an enormous call, and I don't know about that at all.
I don't either. Sark doesn't usually get that animated, but man, this is a huge call. Contact both ways. Both guys looking at the football.
The students are now raining bottles down. And this is unfortunate. And this is going to delay the game. That's the student section down there in the corner. They're not going to win the Taco Bell contest at this rate.
They're not going to win the Taco Bell contest at this rate, right? And then what happens is the referees huddle up during the middle of this entire delay of game. And they overturn the call. They're like, you know what, man? Upon further conversation, not review, because you can't review it. Upon further conversation amongst the referees, as you are raining beer down onto the field, we have actually overturned this call. I thought Kirby Smart was going to levitate out of his shoes.
And he should have. So he should have. This is one of the few times you can say they got it right the wrong way.
That's actually a great way to put it. My question was going to be, in the end, did the right thing happen?
Well, no. Because they never should have huddled, because stuff should have never been thrown on the field. They should have.
But if you're going to go that far, the call should never have been made because there was no pass.
I agree. But they should, when they originally, before he made the call, they should have huddled then and got it right. What changed? Okay. What changed? And I'm not a Georgia fan. I'm not a Texas fan.
It's a good question.
What changed?
What changed is he was sitting there scratching his head going, man, I am looking at that on that like a $1 billion video board, and that is not the right call.
Which you're not supposed to look at.
Good. But here's what I'll say, though. And I'm in agreement with you. But in the end, I'm kind of glad they got the call right. Like, don't you just want them to get it right in the end, whether or not they're looking at the video board?
Well, yes, but no, because now it just Kirby nailed it. I don't think Kirby could have said anything. He said it any better that now this is a precedent that if you just delay the game and have your fans pitch a tantrum, boom.
And here's my next question.
But it was
for you.
Texas fans pitching the tantrum.
They're the ones that benefited from the call. So that's the problem.
Here's my next question. Greg Sankey, in what the conference came out and said about this yesterday, was we reserve the right to suspend alcohol sales in the stadium if there is any further issues. Do you guys like that quote unquote threat? Because I'm all about it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? You can't. And let's be clear, man. I think 90% of the people in the stadium are embarrassed by the other 10% of the stadium. I was at Turner Field in Chipper's last game, the infield fly game. And when things started raining down from the outfield, I was like, come on, dude. This is such a bad look.
Because you had Sark even running out onto the field. Saying,
yeah, Sark was embarrassed.
Was that the student section?
Yeah,
a lot of it
was.
I mean, not to.
Like, I think 95% of it was.
I'm pretty sure it was. You know what's funny is.
And I want to be clear. I'm not coming down on Texas fans. I think this is a very small percentage and a very embarrassing percentage.
How quickly did they get that stuff off the field? I was
It was like they had. It was like they had a vacuum.
I was like,
going.
Well, no way this started.
They had all this. They had Joe Rogan and Matthew McConaughey down there on the field, so they were running around picking up cans too. I'm sure. Hey, my dad was watching the game, and he was like, I don't like that Texas coach. I didn't like the way he yelled. I've never seen Kirby do that. And I said, what? Kirby shoved the player last week. And he goes. Yeah. He goes. I didn't see it.
What are we talking about? I love that both of them are fiery. I wish Kalen DeBoer would shove somebody right now.
I said, really? I go, Kirby gets this way. No, I've never seen him act that bad. And I go, he shoved the player last week. And he's like, I didn't see it.
Yeah. I haven't seen him act that
bad. My dad turned into a tip. He pulls for Georgia.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
He does. He pulls.
Dr. Squid?
My dad believes he should always pull for every home team. Like, he pulls for Tech, too. He doesn't pick one over the other.
Gotcha.
But he always wants the home team, you know,
what
home team to win.
What about when they play each other?
Yeah.
I don't think he really cares. I think he picks whoever has a chance to be, like, win a national title or whatever.
Your dad's
which is
just like
never
me.
Tech. Yeah, imagine.
For all the home
you know
teams.
What?
You know what?
One of the Rob Lowe's of this show. The NFL hat. You never seen that? You don't get that reference, Michael?
Yeah.
Rob Lowe went. I forgot what NFL
Super
game
Bowl.
He went
to.
Super Bowl. Thank you. He wore an NFL, just the NFL logo hat.
Yeah, they
showed an SEC t-shirt on.
They go, oh, look, it's actor Rob Lowe. And he's sitting there, and he's just wearing a hat, and it says NFL. And it's like, dude, you're so vanilla.
Everybody loves it. It's my favorite thing.
Well, I'm more so just talking about the home teams, like the Falcons, Tech, Georgia.
Eagles.
Sixers.
Yeah. Eagles,
Phillies.
Here you go starting false narratives again. You were doing so good. You were doing so good.
I just meant the neutrality between the Georgia and Georgia Tech stuff. So, but anyway.
But yeah, it was funny. My dad turned into a Georgia fan.
I know that Georgia fans are going to hate this. I actually liked the fact that in the end the right call was made. I hate how they got there, but in the end, I'm okay with it because it was the right call.
I can't agree 100% with that because you're basically rewarding childlike behavior. Yeah.
All right. Well, hopefully, Dave Archer can always get you in check when you're acting like a child. He's joining us next here on the morning shift to break down this Falcons loss. We'll be right back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.